one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, 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 yo.
Yeah.
What up, man? It's in the booth. It's your boy Messenger.
Scatting Jones.
Ramona Jones.
It's Chip.
Everything came together in the booth. Years later,
Jack.
In the booth.
Chip.
Podcast with the interviews. Yeah.
That's how they call it. That's
exactly. No, we don't like to say the middle letters of our names.
So yesterday, me and my wife celebrated 21 years
Yay.
Of marriage. Yeah. 24 hours of unadulterated, but naked.
No.
On a Sunday?
Right out the church.
It wasn't 24 hours. I'm about to say.
It could be 24 hours.
Right out the church. But
18
hours of pure
sure.
debauchery.
We literally do not care.
All right. And clean. The Bible says the bed is undefiled. Marriage is honorable, and the bed is undefiled.
Well, thank you. Thank you guys for joining us in the booth, because I'm going to hit. Yes. Boom, please like, share, and subscribe to the show on Facebook, YouTube, and all podcast platforms, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
And if you would like to if you would like to sponsor the show, or if you would like to advertise the show, then just hit us up at intheboothpod at gmail.com.
All right. And it's going up
like mine, but
November
like
11th. November 11th.
Girl, you better get respect for these beats.
Okay,
November 11th is going up. It's called Jazz and Jokes.
Neither one of y'all can concentrate.
Wait. It's happening. 1K son will be there. Awesome rapper. Y'all need to.
It's the same fly every day.
I'm talking about what?
It's the same fly every day.
Yeah. But I like to read
the same email.
Different directions.
Right.
Alexis Spike will be there. Vernon Messam and the Jazz Quartet. My lovely wife Ramona Estelle. Ramona Estelle.
Okay,
Jones. Jones.
They call her Young Jones.
Sean Larkin, comedian, and also comedian Small Fire. Pastor Kyle will be there playing games. Stop playing these games. We got a lot of game giveaways
what
for y'all.
To the music, Kyle?
We got time. Yeah. $30, but 18 and under are free. All right, so you don't have to find somebody to watch the kids, bring the kids out. It's gonna be a great time, man. I'm talking about we laughed. Like I believe that people are being healed from the laughter. You know, I do know somebody. Well,
yeah,
never mind.
I could tell by the way the sentence started. I didn't know what you were gonna say. That ignorant pause right there. Yeah. I just know it's not gonna
anyway.
Be good.
Come and have yourself a good time.
Yeah, please. Can we move on? All right.
Stay up.
Stay up. Shut up.
Come
and have yourself a good time.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. Amen.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, peoples, man. Today's show, we got a very purposeful show. Today, we're talking about overcoming grieving. And today, I'm bringing on my younger sister, Andrea Edmond, who is in Colorado right now. She was a tomboy growing up, so I didn't have a brother, so we did all the, you know, playing in the dirt, making mud pies.
Oh, yeah, that was the best kind.
Picking up frogs, taking the legs off of daddy long legs.
Oh, wow.
Watching them twitch. So Erica didn't, my older sister, she didn't do that. This was, me and Andrea was close because I didn't have a brother, so she was a tomboy. She done all the boy stuff with me. So this is my sister, Andrea Edmond.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, hey, you want me you putting it on me, babe?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh. So we're gonna just play a quick video for y'all, and then we're gonna come back and we're gonna talk with my sister.
My 9-year-old daughter, Elena Love, passed away a little over a year ago. She was dealing with asthma and a viral infection. One morning, she transitioned to heaven instead of going to school. My soul was hit with torment and confusion, full of condemnation. The enemy was telling me, "This is your fault." A few days after she went to Jesus, there was a moment where I wanted to end my life so that I could see her. But throughout the night, I was listening to spirit, soul, and body, and another one of Andrew Womack's teachings called self-centeredness, the source of grief. So at one point during the early morning, I woke up hearing Andrew Womack explaining how I had so much to be grateful for. All of a sudden, the thoughts of heaviness and suicide lost their grip. And the truth that he was speaking, it shut those harmful thoughts down. God was speaking to me. He was saying, "Relax, I have her. She's with me. No one can care for her like I can. Andrea, live." I was able to be genuinely grateful. 2 months later, I was enrolled in Caris Bible College, Atlanta. And it was literally the best decision I've ever made. I'm learning about the Prince of Peace, who has my daughter forever. God has used Caris to fortify my life with such encouragement, so that I want to pour out that encouragement on others like never before. In this world, you'll have trouble, but we have control over our heart. And so his word shows us how to let it not be troubled. We pray in the spirit, we meditate the word of God, and that's how we stay anchored in God's love.
Andrea.
Hey, I wasn't trying to get teary-eyed, but man. So, just briefly, I guess just in 60 seconds, just tell us about how Elena was just as a child growing up, just everything she was.
She was like a
yeah, I know. I give my side. Elena was vibrant. She was just so full of life. She was a straight A student, Christian school, dancer in dance. My kids loved just hanging around her. If Andrew would come in the door and not have Elena, it was going to be a problem. Yeah. They'll hug her and be like, "Where's Elena?" "Oh, she's not here." And they'll just walk on back.
I'm like, kick a rock or something.
Yeah, so she was just a ball of joy. And I loved her laugh. I loved her laugh. Was so funny. You a kid. She was just a trip. But I guess explain just the whole moment of just going through that morning as everything transpired, and we'll just get into after it and how we got to where we are now.
So that morning I went to wake her up for school, and I tried to lift her up, and I think she had already transitioned, and so got 911 on the call, and I went ahead and started doing CPR, but and I was just praying and asking God to bring her back, and paramedics came, and I tried to resuscitate her and bring her back and took her to the hospital. And I think that's where you saw Eric, where you saw the paramedics taking her. So yeah, yeah, it was just, it was a whirlwind of a morning. Yeah. So yeah, but yeah, she's with him, and that's where we're going.
And she is this building here, the apartment complex right behind us, is where they were. That's where Andrew used to live and Lanny used to live. Oh. Look, if you look right through the trees.
You mean right?
Yes, right here.
Really?
Yeah, they used to be right here. But mm-hmm. the driveway where you come into Free Life is where I was coming when I got the call about Elena. I came from Ellawood, came down Rock Quarry, turned in right here, and the ambulance was coming out. Mm. And in my head, I was like, well, that can't be Elena. You know, because, you know, they would have resuscitated her and whatnot. And so I turned around and just followed the ambulance because Piedmont is right here across the street. So I just turned around in this driveway right here and followed the ambulance over to the emergency room. You know, they backed up to the door and I had to park at the emergency room entrance. And I went to look over the fence to see, you know, who was coming out. And in my head, I was like, please don't be Elena. Please don't be Elena. And it seemed like they were, you know, they were moving fast, but it feel like it's moving in slow motion.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just please don't be Elena. So they start to pull the thing out. And then Elena's on, you know, she's hooked up. And I remember screaming, Elena! And she didn't move. And that's when it hit me, okay, this is serious. Mm. You know, because I thought, you know, doctor's there, paramedics there, they'll get it back. And, you know, she'll go over to the hospital and do some tests and, you know, whatnot. And, you know, and I remember she didn't respond. And, I went inside the hospital, and I was the first family member there. So the lady, I guess the liaison between the room and the waiting room where we were at, the family, she met me first. I said, okay, my family's on the way. Is everything all right? You got on oxygen? She's like, yeah, we're doing everything we can. And so the family started coming in. We started praying, and the doctor, she kept coming back, giving us a report, you know, we're still trying, you're still, you know, this, that, and the third. And so we just kept praying. And even then, it was like, we're in the hospital, we're praying, you know, this is gonna work out. And then I remember looking down the hall and the lady was coming with a doctor. And I looked up in the sky, I said, no. Don't do this. And he came in the room and, you know, he pulled the family together and said, you know, she didn't make it. And after that, it was just like echo, wah, wah, wah. I don't remember what he said.
Yeah. Right.
I don't remember what happened. I remember I was numb. I'm pretty sure Andrew was numb. We didn't even cry right then. Because it was just shock, like, there's no way, you know. It was like, you know, well, go try something else. So, you know, do another. It's got to be something else, you know. And you're just in that moment right then. And but we got in the room, and that was the toughest thing. I know my sister. For me, it was my niece, but it still feels like a child.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like it's your family, and you know. You're just in shock. You just can't believe it. And so after that day and, you know, that whole day happened, I was just, it's like a train hits you. You're just numb. You don't know what to do. And for I had to tell my kids. That was the hardest thing I ever had to do in my life, was tell my kids. My daughter collapsed on the floor. Kim and KK, they just started crying. And that was the toughest day ever.
Yeah.
Because I've had family members older, you know, struggle with sicknesses and illnesses, but a child, that was the first time ever, never saw it coming, couldn't, you know, fathom, you know, Elena transitioning. But just after that, so let's move on past that. We started going to Grief Share as a family. What did Grief Share do, I guess, for you?
What is Grief Share?
Well, go ahead and tell them what Grief Share is, Angel.
Well, Grief Share is a network of, it's like a counseling, a grief type counseling network. And so people can, individuals can become certified to be a Grief Share facilitator. And our facilitators, it was two of them. They're in Jonesboro, Georgia. And it was actually located at the preschool where she was at. It was a Christian preschool, whatever. And so they actually have a curriculum. Everyone who wants to come, you get a book. And it's like at least 7 weeks of curriculum. You come in, you sit, they'll play a video. You know, you come in, light refreshments, chill, hang, talk. They'll play a video, which is introducing the topic of that evening. And each week is hitting some aspect of something that you're going to experience, you know. And no matter where you are, if you lost a loved one, like just a few days ago, if you lost a loved one 10 years ago, you know, you have people from all walks of life who come together and, you know, you just share. And yeah, it's so powerful because like 2 days ago, or was it last night? It was yesterday. I was talking to someone and he said his friend had a 21-year-old daughter that died in the bed. They found out she had some, I don't know, it was cocaine related. And so, and he found out, you know, that his friend's daughter had passed. And so he informed me about it and I was like, get him to Grief Share, you know, and I told him about it. So he called him and he's like, he found out that his friend had actually been attending it. And so his only regret was that he got in there at like week 7. And so, like I said, it goes through like a weekly progression. And so, but it was so effective for us because like my mom, my dad, all my siblings were there. We even invited my aunt and cousins and, you know, we would come in and they'd be like, wow, all y'all coming. And it was just so therapeutic for us to just sit and get our mind engaged on these topics and talk about them and just share and just cry and hear other stories and know that we're not the only ones, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Andrew, you talked about how you took blame, how you felt responsible. Mm-hmm. Tell us how you got out of that, how the mindset of, you know, feeling like it was, you know, as a parent, we all mm-hmm. feel like anything that's happened to our kids right, is our fault. If they got a cold, if they hit their knee outside playing, then what did I do to make this happen? So just walk us through that.
Yeah. So, yeah, like you said, being a mom, you know, the enemy is always, you know, wanting to put everything on you. Mm-hmm. And like, at the end of the day, we're all God's children. Mm-hmm. And we are literally in a fallen world. Like, we did this. Like, Adam, of course, did this, you know. And of course, he was blaming God and the woman that, you know, God gave him. But, you know, we're in a fallen world and things happen. God did not take my daughter. God did not give her asthma. God did not create that virus. God did not create death. God did not, like, it wasn't his fault. And, you know, I understand that we live in a fallen world. We're all going to leave this world. We didn't come here to stay. You know, had Adam not done that, we would have stayed. But, but yeah, it's, you know, I just, you know, it's renewing your mind in the word and knowing that, you know, no matter what has happened, you know, I'm just speaking to whoever you are, whatever, you know, wherever you are in life, you know, if you have all your children, if you have your husband, if someone has passed away, anything in Christ, we have wronged no man. You know, he's washed away everything. You know, if you've had an abortion, no matter what, in Christ, we, like, as Christ is, so are we in this world. Mm. You know, we're completely, everything is washed away. Whether you were convicted guilty or you're innocent in man's eyes, like, we got to take that into our heart and, like, really, like, let our heart wrap around that and rest in that. Because that's the only way you're going to make it and not kill yourself, you know, and take the blame for stuff that is not yours. Like, Jesus took that to the cross, and that's another thing I did. You know, whatever you're dealing with, sickness, depression, guilt, see Jesus on the cross with that. Like, he took all of that, every pain, emotional, physical, whatever. Sorry, that's the bell. he took it all. And I just see him on the cross as this, you know, mother who lost their child, and he's grieving. He took all our grief, all of our pain. It's not mine. Mm-hmm. And I just leave it there on the cross. And I live life. Like, right now, I'm here. So,
man, yeah, that's amazing. Amazing strength. And as a parent, you know, I can't even imagine. I mean, your strength is amazing. So I remember my dad went home to be with the Lord in 2010. And then my mom, 2017. And I didn't grieve right away. My dad, you know, I wanted to take care of the arrangements. I wanted to make sure that I was a stand-up guy and strong for my mom, for everybody at the time, you know. And so instead of just crying, and I remember my uncle saying, "Man, you know, you're real strong, bro. But make sure you get it out." And I'm like, "Man, I'm good. You know, I know what that is, and all of that type of stuff. And your faith does kick in. You say the right stuff." But then, I had this image of his casket being open for 3 years in my head, and I never closed it. And so it's like I'm reliving this over and over, and the pain is imploding because I got to go somewhere and I got to do something, and so I can't really deal with my emotions. I got to go somewhere and sing, go somewhere and preach. And I was just, it's really why I got so big, because I was so, still grieving, and I didn't know how to get past that. Well, you know, and then my mom passed away. And when my mom passed away, it was tough, you know, that whole thing. I mean, it was a God thing. If I told a story about how it happened, but and she ended up passing away really at the same hospital your baby transitioned, my mom. And so I brought her to Atlanta. And so dealing with that, one of the best things that actually happened is when COVID happened, everybody had to take a break. And so nobody could go anywhere. For me, I was able to deal with that emotion. And so you're talking about 3 years my mom gone, 10 years my dad gone, and I'm just dealing with it. I put on a suit, and God told me to preach about grief. It's online right now. And I preached, and he was telling me to do it for other people, to show people how to get out of it. And before I did that, I went down to Florida. I went to their sites in Florida, and I said, "Mom and Dad, I love y'all, but I gotta let y'all go. I gotta live, because I got too many people here that need me alive, and trying to hold on to y'all. And I've been trying to hold on. I was trying to hold on to them." But I was like, "Mom, I gotta go. Daddy, I gotta go." And I went, I prayed. I remember I put I kneeled at both grave sites. I prayed, and I said, "I love y'all, but I gotta get myself out of this mud." I felt like I was in mud. And when I left, I came, it was during COVID. My wife was in the room. I put on a black suit and I preached 3 sermons. And I thought I was preaching for everybody else about grief. And I end up preaching myself out of mud. And I haven't been the same since. My weight went back down. I realized that even my pain See, a lot of people can blame food and all of that type of stuff, but a doctor can't pull up grief on right. your charts. He yep. can't pull up depression on your charts. Yep. And some of that stuff is killing your body. And so I believe that that grief would have really, really hurt me bad close to death if I wouldn't have dealt with it. And so I commend you for your strength, because it took me 10 years to get past, and I know you're still dealing with it, but you sound a lot better than I did. And me, I knew how to mask it. I knew how to put on. I knew how to kind of fake it, you know. But I was really, really hurt and just missed them, and wanted to hear their voice. And you go through all of that, but the grief share thing I didn't have, and I had to really keep pouring out to people when I needed somebody to pour into me. And so I thank God for your strength. I love y'all family, man. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that Coach Wade came all the way up and everybody was here. Like, that was really
that
like,
joker.
Like
that joker. He came in the house. He almost cracked my back. Like, he was like, just would not let me go. I was like,
that is coach. But y'all family.
Like my back. I was like, okay, uncle. He would not let me go. Oh my gosh. I still remember.
He's just seeing y'all together.
Y'all are always together, too. Like, all the events, y'all are always together, and I love
your dad and your dad and your uncle are like the perfect brothers sometimes to me. Like, he gonna be there for his brother. Now, I know they argue. Yeah. You know, they all got over the Dolphins. Yeah. But
that's where Eric gets it from.
And now we know.
Does he? He said he don't argue.
I'm not argumentative. I just defend.
Right, right. Position. You defend the truth, right? Yeah. But y'all family has always been. Your brother has always been a stand up guy when it came to Jesus and an example. For me and your family as well. And like you guys in a tough situation, let me tell you, because I was there at the home going, you mourn with such grace. It was such grace and peace that was in that room. Same peace I feel right now. Mm. There was a grace there. There was a peace there. And that peace, of course, God say he'll grant you peace that surpasses all understanding. But sometimes people don't receive that grace and peace. They just, you know, and you go through the questions. I'm not saying that. But the grace and the peace that you guys displayed, it was an example to a lot of families, me included. Mm. Because at that time, I was still battling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I hadn't gone to a home going. Since my mom, yeah. So you guys helped me, because that was the next home going that I've been to. I hadn't been to any home goings since my mom had transitioned until I came to support you guys.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was tough for me to be in there, but the grace that you guys displayed really, really helped me. And I know you don't know this, that's what I'm telling you, but thank you for your strength. Thank you for And through the Holy Spirit, you were the perfect mom. Mm.
No.
Yeah.
You were the perfect mom. You were the perfect mom. Mm. You were the perfect mom.
I agree.
You were the perfect mom. Yep.
I told you this. I said, I don't know how. Your strength is, it's like a rock, man.
Yep.
I told you. I said, man, I don't know how. I would have lost. I would have went cuckoo for. I would have came back.
Yeah.
But I would have been cuckoo for a little while, just like, you know, because I would. You can ask God questions, but you can't question God.
Yeah.
And that's tough.
Hmm.
and to feel all of that. And the thing about grieving, everybody grieves different.
Right. Right.
Everybody, and I had to be the, for my kid. See, when a child passes and your kids are real close, you got a certain position to hold them together. Right. Nyla, she internalizes. Mm. If she starts talking about it, she'll cry.
Yeah.
So she kind of internalizes it. Cam expresses it. Cam walks in the office, 8 years old, and I'm in the office. He said, "Daddy, I wish I could be a baby again." Mm. I said, "Why?" He said, "So Elena could be alive." Mm. And as a parent, you say, he's dealing with that. Mm-hmm. I was driving I picked him up from school earlier this year. Now he's 9. And I look in the mirror, he has his head down in the door praying. I said, "Cam, what you doing?" He said, "Praying." I said, "Okay." Praying after school, not on the way to school. Right. I'm thinking something happened in school, okay? I said, "What you praying?" He said, "I was just praying that God would send a message to Elena."
Wow.
I'm like, he's still dealing with it. Mm. Yeah. So everybody deals with it different.
Yeah.
Some people internalize, some people can express it, some people, you know.
Yeah.
Grieving is, but the thing is, to make sure you're going through it, you're not stopping.
Right. And that's where I got stuck.
You can't get stuck in grief.
And one of the things that, you know, when I had to tell my kids about mom, you know, Lovey spent a lot of time with my mom. She definitely started crying. Yes was a baby, so, and Styles was a baby. But Minion was like, you know, so I was like, "Mom, Grandma has transitioned. She's in heaven now." It was like, that's a good thing, right?
That's
and when,
how Elaine
and
was.
And when he said, "That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. She in heaven." That's what all we talk about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what church is about. Yep. That's what, like, and exactly. when he said that, he said, "I say yeah."
Yeah.
Then he says, "So can I go play?"
Andrew, explain that to.
And when he said that, I was like, "Wow,
yeah,
you're right,
right,
I was like, "You're right." Yeah. I couldn't. The other thing I felt like, because I should have took that. God gave me my first out right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just realizing he gave me my first out right there. I didn't take it. He was trying to say, give me this grief. Don't take that path, right. Which I end up taking. Take the one he's back here to bring this back to your remembrance. This is all. Yeah. Take that one. And so I didn't take it, but I should have. Because he was saying, "Bro, it's a good thing. Your mama of all people wanted to be in heaven. Yeah. Like take that one." And so but going through it, I understood that I should have took the out. Yeah.
I know with me in my grief, I had cousins that were 4 and 5 years older than me, two brothers, and they were both killed in Atlanta, 11 months apart from each other. So I am this is my senior year in high school, going from one funeral, he got shot, and then 11 months later, the other one, the same thing, robbery. And so I realized I wasn't dealing with my grief the right way as well. I was holding on to my grief like it was honor. Mm. Like I'm honoring them by holding on to this grief, always remembering them, always remembering their death date, always remembering all of these things. And I realized I had to let that go because it's not honor. That's not honor.
Right. And I feel that same thing.
Yeah, too. That's holding on to something that is trying to kill you, really. Trying to get you out of here. And so I know a lot of people are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Man, Andrew, explain Elena with her dad. That's funny how Dominion did that. Elena did say
that. Yeah, so her dad had actually passed away. Her dad passed away in August 2020. She passed in November 2020. Oh, wow. So like not even 3 months. Damn. And he had been battling stage 4 cancer. And so when he passed, and she was like his nurse, whenever the nurse would come in, she'd be like, stop. Okay, what am I, you know, she was like Al's nurse. And so just when he passed, she was with her granny, his mom, in the hospital called and said he passed. And Elena was sleeping in the bed and her granny screamed. So Elena came in there and was like, what's going on? And her granny told her, your dad just passed. And Elena looked at her like, why are you crying? Mm. He's in a better place. Wow. And her granny just looked at her like, what in the world? Wow. And so when, you know, I'm like, after her dad passed, I'm in like, you know, counselor mode, like trying to make sure my child is not, you know, is, you know, able to grieve. I'm like, you know, if you ever want to cry, just let me know. And, you know, and she's like, she would just look at me like I'm crazy. Like, what do you want to cry about? Like, if I wanted to cry about her dad passing, I'd have to go in the closet somewhere and cry. Oh,
wow.
And me and my best friend, we, the day her dad passed, she drove to, you know, my home. And, we went to some trampoline park and just, you know, just let ourselves just be free or whatever. And so we came out and we started talking, and then we kind of got on topic of Al, and me and Keisha were like, we started crying and sniffling, and Elena looked at us like, are y'all serious? And we were like, okay, we just cleared it.
Wow.
Like, you couldn't cry around her. Like, she understood that's where we want to be, you know? Wow. And so, like, when Elena passed, there would be times where I wanted to cry, and I could just feel Elena looking at me like, are you serious?
Right. Wow. That's amazing.
You know? Wow. And so I would still cry, but it's like I had to feel like, God don't let her see me.
Right. That's awesome. Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, 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 wow.
So, yeah. As we end up, can you just speak to people that's dealing with grief that may be stuck in it, and kind of give them something, that how can they give them a nugget of something to help them get over or through or out of being stuck? Because grief is going to happen, but just staying in there.
I would say get your heart, get in a place, get the scriptures about, you know, the love of God and how he's forgiven us and what the cross has done for us and where we're going. Like, get those scriptures and meditate them and just think about it and envision it and let your heart relax in it. You know, just let your heart lean back into the love of God and just marinate. Let your heart just marinate. Just let your heart melt in his hands and melt in, you know, and how loved you are and how he has it. He never loses. He never loses, you know? It's like someone was saying the other day in class, that, you know how you play football and Coach Vincent and Coach whoever you had would videotape the games and y'all won.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, if you rewind the tape,
yeah,
you know, okay, you fumble the ball, okay, yeah. So they scored, whatever. Who wins?
Right.
Right.
So we're just moving forward in a game that we've already won.
Yeah,
the enemy doesn't have my daughter, you know, and we know where we're going. And so I just, like, it's a song I recorded last year, 50 billion years from now, I'll be your child, you know, and nothing can separate us from that. And so just keep your mindset on, this is not eternal right here. We are eternal, but this is not eternal. In this world, you will have trouble, but in him, we have overcome it. We win. So keep your mind on things above, not what's happening here. And when your mind is above, you can handle the stuff that happens here.
So he'll keep you perfect. Your peace is perfected when your mind is stayed on him.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Andrew, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for being strong.
Yeah.
Thank you for being an example. And just, man, I can't even put in words how you've really just given me strength seeing you dealing with this. And I felt like you were stronger than me. I was like, man, I'm in there crying. I mean, you were speaking in tongues. I was crying. I was like, Lord, have mercy. This thing is. Mm-hmm. But, man, just you have been a soldier. And I thank God for, you know, our parents putting it in us.
Yeah.
For, you know, because mm-hmm. if they didn't, this could have been just, Lord, why? And we get mad at God and just, yeah. you know. But I thank mm-hmm. God that we have a foundation that's strong, and as a family we could. And we did me and my sister did a song together.
Yeah.
Called Love Lives On. Her name is Elena Love, so Elena's gone, but the love lives on.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Because we're temporary, but love is eternal.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's on YouTube. Y'all can look it up. Love Lives On by Messenger and Andrea. But we were, even in the moment, able to still move and work together as a family and move as a unit, and that service was anointed.
Yeah.
And it was balanced. It was just everything. It was acoustic guitar. It was a little hip hop, a little this, little, and it was just it was done with grace.
Yep.
And I feel like mm-hmm.
So Eric, I just wanna mm-hmm. thank you and the family. You know, look in that video, I didn't get a chance to give a shout out to y'all. Like, y'all were just like, y'all wouldn't let me go. And I thank you.
Yeah.
And I hope anyone going through, I pray that God helps, you know, helps your family to be solidified. And like you said, that grace and that peace. And Canton, I'm so grateful. I noticed that you lost weight when you came. I was like, wow. Yeah. So when you said that, I was like, wow.
I had to get that grief off me.
Yeah, get it off.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm happy for you.
Wow, man. Well, sis, you are amazing to us. Man. Thank you for doing this for a lot of people. You're going to help so many people.
Yeah. Right, for sure.
You know, I don't like seeing, I'd rather see Kaiser arguing with me than I don't like seeing my brothers like this, you know, but we all go through. And we go through together. That's why we got family, you know. And so be strong. Continue to stand on your faith.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Stand on your faith. And,
when you coming back home?
What?
When you coming back home? You know what I mean? You just
she in school?
Yes, yeah, out in Colorado. What's the name of your school?
Karis Bible College.
You're a student or you're a teacher?
Student.
Student. It's Karis Bible College.
Okay. Let's go. Let's go. What is your concentration?
So next year I'm gonna do business, and I'm gonna do video production. It's the third year. So.
Yeah. We're gonna take it to the trap. Do some trap, Holy Ghost trap video.
Oh my God.
What?
we're gonna do some Holy Ghost trap video.
Yeah.
Oh my
gosh. Yeah. Some hood stuff.
Yeah. We're gonna have Jasmine in the video. We're gonna need a wide lens. No, I'm playing.
I'm just, but for real, when you coming home?
Call me.
I know that right.
Put up his head out on the street. Get that with you. Right.
Don't come back if you don't have to.
Yeah. Right.
Live. You know, we all from, you know, I know you are in Colorado by way of Atlanta, but your people's from Pompano.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I ain't going back to none of that.
Right.
No way.
Definitely not.
Love your Pompano. Right. Fear. Fort Lauderdale. Yeah,
never. Well, yeah, Alabama, but
never.
No, we went to Dallas the other day. I was like, it's time to go.
Yeah,
this is nice.
She was in Dallas. Yeah,
but it's time to go.
Once she took a little drive through, she was ready to go. I saw it on her face. That's like, we've been here too long. I'm like, man, we just got here.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself.
Man. All right, sis. So, right, man,
we love you.
Thank you
love
so
you.
Much.
Thank
and,
you.
Love you, Ramona. Love you, Kenton.
And I'll call you.
Yeah.
All right.
You got class, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my bad.
See you in class now? Okay. Bye. 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 Go get class. Yeah. Back good. Love you.
Okay.
Don't bring back no D's now.
Oh my God.
Blame it on the booth.
Got a D. The question was, who is Jesus?
Oh my God.
All right, sis.
All right, Angie.
Yep.
right. Y'all write me a pass.
Oh, yeah, we got you.
Hall pass.
Yeah, we got you.
Man, my mama used to have them hall passes. Yeah. Teaching, boy. She had all the hall passes. I used to take them up by the them pink passes.
Yeah.
I used to have them up by the pile.
Yeah. Yeah. We had the one you put around your neck.
Oh, you had that?
And like really? A string. It's a card, but with a string, like, it just had a, like a tell you, like you take it off and give it somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. We had the pink pass.
Yeah.
Walking around with the pink pass. And, you know, my mom was a teacher, so I had me a bunch of pass.
Yeah.
You laughing at
me. She laughing at me. Mom almost slapped herself with his MacBook.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. I didn't know what that was.
It was like a slow smack. So she was like,
Indy beast. All right.
That was real good, man.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. Connecting with your sister. Y'all family is very strong, bro. Mm-hmm. Y'all. And I know, like, it's still a process that my mugs, you know, that's been, what, 2 years?
It'll be 2 years in November, next month.
2 years, yeah. And so, that's a process. That's a process.
Yeah. And the grief share is other people and families that's been through it. And, man, the stuff they, some people, like, they lost their child 20 years ago. And they still.
You still did
them. Yeah. I'm like, man. Your child is different. That's why I salute my sister. Like, for you to be doing this, and it's not even 2 years. It's people like 7 years in.
Yeah.
You know, couples. You know, you got the dad don't want to talk about it at all, and the mom wants to really express it, and you know, speak. You know, and he's like, nope, don't talk to me about it. Don't, you know, and that you see all that in the different dynamics.
You gotta really make a decision.
Yeah.
It came a day where you just gotta just get out of it. Because grief tries to replace the Holy Spirit as a comforter.
Yeah.
And so you can get comfortable in grief not moving on to the point that it will literally take the life from you.
Yeah.
And so...
And the trauma you gotta deal with. I hated driving in this driveway right here.
Hmm. Yeah, see, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, because that's the driveway I turned around to follow the ambulance. So I would drive around the building that way to come park.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Because I could not.
Make you remember.
Yeah, I couldn't. Every time I drove in.
The
driveway is. Yeah. I just, you know. Or even see that ambulance. The Henry County Piedmont ambulance. I couldn't. When the lights are lit up and it drive by me.
Oh, wow.
That's why we were staying in. What's the subdivision called?
Eagles Landing.
And that whole ordeal with ambulance and coming to that, just driving up in there is why I was like, man, I want to get out of here.
Yep.
Because you got to get away from it to be for a while.
To heal.
And maybe you can go back.
Because it brings it back to your memory. It brings you back to the spot.
Right.
And when you're trying to get over
it. When you're trying to get past it. And it's just...
I feel like it bring it back clearer. Like you can think about it, but when you like actually like, oh, this is street, this and that, it's like.
And so it's like, when we came over here, it's like, oh man, I got to pass this hospital every day.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I guess it's been what, 2 years, 3 years we've been over here, been helping me get past it. But really, 2020 is when I, you know, that period of time really helped me, you know, and so because that's actually when we started driving over here, past that. So I was able to avoid it up until then, and then you know just deal with it to the point now it don't really bother me to pass the hospital. I had to go in there for
my grandmother.
No, they wouldn't let me. They wouldn't let me go over there, but you had to go in there.
Yeah,
but when Mac hurt himself. Mm-hmm. I had to go in to check him in. He ended up, God healed him, and he walked out. That was crazy. But anyway, that was the first time me being in that emergency room, driving up where I dropped my mom, just the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Again, it's like, oh, man. This. Right
it's music that is hard to listen to because I was trying to, that day, I was listening to, you know, gospel music, trying to get through. And those songs that I played that day, I see yeah. her on the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like.
Well, you better tell me which song it is if I bring it up.
No, nah, it's like, no.
Nah. This dude just fall out. No! Like, look, get him up. Play another song, you know?
Yeah, but it's certain songs that it just take me
start
back.
Start playing.
Like,
just yeah, like, I'm going to make sure I avoid that. I'm going to start playing some different stuff. Yeah. Some Southern Baptist gospel. Yeah. Okay. Something that I know that you didn't listen to. Some Al Green. Yeah. Play some Al Green gospel.
Why?
Yeah.
Some, people break up. Why is he playing
something? Nah, I mean, he got some gospel songs. Yeah. Hold to his hands. Oh, yeah. God's unchanging hands.
Jesus. He will be.
Yeah, something like that. We're going to play something that don't send you in. But, you know, you better give me a list of songs, bro. You know, I don't want to play the wrong thing.
Oh,
we got to come hug you the whole time. Like, what's wrong with it? Is it his birthday?
Is it his birthday?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, birthday? Yeah, man. Like, no.
He like his share,
people. Like, no, somebody broke wind. He all right.
Okay.
He got a bad number.
No matter what.